Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilger. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys, I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Survivors, welcome to episode 120 of The Walking Dead Talk. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And, well, I'm back. I was kind of like, didn't have my sound effect for the like applause and cheers that I could give myself.
Yay!
No, I've had it just a lot of stuff been going on. Missed the last two episodes, really wanted to join in, but finally I'm back and there should not be any other issues going forward. So cross my fingers.
Well, there'll be issues, they just won't be yours. So cuz tonight I'm here, but I'm only going to be here like part-time, so you'll hear me interject occasionally, but I have a project that has a very tight deadline that had a very tight deadline, and now the deadline's been moved up 8 days, so it's due in a week, so instead of like 2 weeks from now. So I shouldn't even be doing this, but I figured I needed the stress relief. So
we'll welcome you on anytime you want to pop in while we're recording. So
besides spoiler, I really like this episode a lot, so
all right, well hopefully we'll keep you on for a little bit longer, but yeah, you'll just be popping in when you can. So let's just move forward then, because since I missed the last two, I did have some things to say about the last two episodes, but we'll be covering The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 19, titled One More, but I will go ahead and give my feedback for Episode 17, Home Sweet Home, and 18, Find Me. I rewatched everything, listened to the podcast, and it was kind of like, just because of the busyness, but I didn't give them individual ratings. I just was like, okay, I'll just give it a range for these two. And I gave it a 7 to 7.6. Hilltop Could Be Rebuilt Again. Cause I felt like that seeing like when Maggie saw Hilltop, I don't know, it still looked like it was salvageable. So, but anyway, so I just like, I don't know. I gave it kind of a mid range, just cause I just had to kind of rush watch it, and then I got to watch it again, and I'll just leave it at that. We'll see if it improves. All right, so I'll just continue with for the episode 17, Home Sweet Home, and I kind of agree. It's like Little Herschel, Maggie. I call him Michonne 2.0, and really just seeing everybody. It was just like having them back on the screen. Like after all this time, I know we had fear back in November, or I guess October, November, whatever, but it was like the whole break basically that kind of just interrupted the whole flow of everything. It was really good to see these guys back. And, I mean, it's kind of like after all this break and all this time and the interruptions, I did start kind of losing interest when it was coming. I knew it was coming back and I saw the first episode, but I was just like so busy and I kind of like barely watched it, but it was like, but once I watched it again, then it's like, then I was kind of like, I was back in it and my interest, went way back up. It was just the whole break because of the pandemic, it was just like the uncertainty of things, and it was just too much time, like too much other stuff going on in my life, that it was like, it was kind of hard to really like jump back into it, and
right,
just be all like, oh cool, like we were used to this of being like the a very knowing like how like everything would happen, it's like, oh, season you know, 10 would have ended, you know, last year, and then we would have gone into Fear or World Beyond, but it was just, you know, kind of had to wait and figure things out. I liked hearing Maggie talk about the other groups that she ran into, and it was like, I mean, even if they didn't last, because obviously, you know, she sounded like she and what's her name? I just forgot.
Georgie,
yeah. I know, like, they were on their little trek and they were running into groups, but it looks like Maggie, you know, stayed behind and, you know, was helping out and stuff like that. But it was kind of sad. It's like, you know, they didn't really last. And that was kind of a, you know, just hearing it though, it's like, okay, well, yeah, that's kind of the world outside. And it was like, besides what we know from Fear, or just what they've shown us, you know, in the whole universe, is that, I mean, it does seem like there's a lot of survivors out there, like building communities, and also getting wiped out by other humans. and they all seem to have like these catchy names too. So it's like, but I don't know, hearing that from her and just after all this time, just like kind of getting back into the universe, I really liked hearing just like, oh yeah, there seems to be a lot of people out there, you know, grouping up and like kind of starting off a community and like building together, sharing resources, whatever. But then it always seems like, yeah, then something bad happens and, you know, they're scattered to the wind.
Well, you have to have a catchy name. It's that whole post-apocalyptic branding thing.
Everybody wants to be unique and different and also be remembered.
Yep.
Yeah. And then another part that I really liked was just Maggie talking about little Herschel at the beach. And it was kind of like, you know, like they kind of escaped or got away to kind of like, I don't know, I guess, you know, get some R&R. But it was really neat because it was like, I could actually visualize Maggie with like a smile in her face, you know, mm-hmm. watching little Herschel, like, you know, playing, like the way she was describing it. And it actually was like, gosh, everything that she's probably seen, actually everything she's been through, that it was just to kind of visualize that she was kind of at some point a little bit maybe in peace and like, you know, probably hopefully, you know, felt more safe and just being able to spend time like with her child. And that's, I don't know, I kind of like that, the way she described it, how they just brought that all up at this episode. The only thing outside of what you guys all discussed on the podcast, and it was just about the Reapers. And like who are they? Is this just another dirt group out there? I mean, I kind of like the guy, it seemed like, and I called him Grunt McSplosy Face, because he seemed... like, you know, he was maybe military, you know, it's like he was, you know, obviously had some camo or like, you know, concealed himself, you know, had like a sniper rifle. So it's like, okay, who are these people? I'm assuming, you know, they're kind of maybe CRM like, but, you know, we don't know. But I was annoyed that Maggie like was not wanting to talk about them with Daryl, or like, you know, like she was... Daryl was kind of asking her about, like, you know, what was it like out there? What was going on? And, like, she started to kind of open up, but then she's like, I just don't want to talk about that right now. And it's like, I don't know, again, it's like, wouldn't she want to tell them about this other threat so that everybody in Alexandria, like, would at least, like, know something about the outside world that she's experienced? I mean, they just had this huge war with the Whisperers. You know, they know that it's not a safe world out there. And I just felt like they just kind of, like, her group knew all about them and were afraid of them. But then once they actually went to go find their people and then realized, oh, hey, you know, Daryl almost got, like, hurt and she almost got killed, that, like, this wouldn't be, like, an immediate thing to say, oh, hey, yes, we ran into this group called the Reapers. We don't know who they are, but they come in and kill us. And, like, telling everybody and being like, hey, this threat, you know, we need to watch out. And it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, there's just another baddie out there, but emoji.
Or she just didn't want to talk about it.
Right. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, I hate it when they do this, like being vague with their dialogue on these shows. And it's like, you know, it's, I guess, you know, we had these issues with Fear where it's just like, oh, they kind of skirt around the whole main issue and like the other person then like the two episodes later or something would just be like, oh yeah, like now, like what's this about? And it's like, okay, now we'll talk about it. It was just like, it was right there. Like you could have said something and it's just like, oh no, we have to save that for episode, you know, like the third episode.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very, like, I'm not sure if Daryl was still like kind of passed out because he got thrown against that tree, but like she was asking him, like, you know, like, who are you? What do you want or whatever? And then the grunt said, Pope marked you. And I was like, okay, like, who is Pope? Like, okay, there's something there. And then did no one else hear that but her? And who is this Pope person? And it's like, the Reapers are after them because she was marked. So I don't know. I just, that whole thing just kind of was just bugged me.
Yeah, you would think if somebody's trying to kill you, you would, and you go back to all the people that you've been with before, you'd kind of want to let them know.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, it's just part of their stringing us along, I guess, to find, you know, we'll get there. And then for episode 18, Find Me, and then I have to agree, yes, like everybody, yes, with Dog. And finding out how and where and why Dog even exists. I mean, I thought it was kind of a sad story because I think Leia was talking about, it's like when she was losing her son, that was the same time Dog was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would have been immediately my sad sauce from last week's episode of Azanon. But it's like I did find that the episode was a little slow. So I kind of watched it and skipped around a bit. It's like, it definitely wasn't my favorite episode of just what we've seen so far in the start. I kind of got very, like, it kind of got where, I don't know, it was kind of like, oh, it's Daryl and Carol being cute, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, we do this time jump and like we start, you know, kind of getting more information of like what happened to Daryl, you know, when he kind of took off and this and that. But I don't know. It just kind of got a little boring in parts until maybe towards the end. Yep. So I don't know. And then it was kind of like, and I'm not sure who said it. I don't know. I think it might have been Brian or maybe it was you. It's like when he said like a storm's a coming. And so he left his map out.
Yeah, that was my diatribe about the map.
And I remember when he pulled it out and put it on that tree or whatever it was, like it looked like it was just like two little nails or something that he put it in there. So I was like, okay, wait, mm-hmm. that's not really like securing it. That almost like, okay, you know, it was like your, I don't know. It was like, oh yeah, just putting like tacking it on there. And then of course the storm comes and it's just being like flapping in the wind and he's like staring at it and it's just like, yeah, like if that's important to you, it's like take it down, put it in your pocket. Like, what are you thinking? So I don't know. It was just kind of goofy and, you know, I guess whatever. The storm came, map got messed up and he, you know, whatever, should have mm-hmm. put it in his pocket. Another thing was Leah at the beginning when she was holding up the shotgun to Daryl and she said, what are you doing on my land? My cabin. And I was kind of like, really? I was like, is there really any land ownership rights in the zombie apocalypse? I mean, I don't know. It just struck me so weird. This is like, what do you do in my land? And I'm like, who's to say it's your land? You know, like, I don't know. It's like mine. This is my place. And I'm like, well, fine. She could have just been like, I called dibs.
She claimed it.
Yeah. She's part of the claim gang. The other thing, and I don't know. I guess this is one of the things that was a little bit hard about not being able to join you guys. I feel like I'm kind of go back through like, oh, okay, you guys discussed so much. So now I'm kind of like getting into the little fear aspect where I'm just all like, okay, now here's the things that bugged me. And again, it's guns. They make loud noises. And I was just all like, why are you like, you know that like, everybody should know at this point when you shoot guns, they make really loud noises. And so more walkers will come. Like it's always, that's the thing. It's like the Field of Dreams. Like you build it, they will come. You shoot, there's going to be more walkers. They will come. Yes. And so I don't know. I just like, I feel like that's like, that's ZA school 101. Like, do not, do not shoot guns. There was that little exchange between Daryl and Leia, at the end, I guess when he threw the fish on her door. And then I guess he left or whatever. She comes back and throws it back at him. And they had their like little cute back and forth. And it's just like, it's like, I want to be left alone. And Daryl's like, then I won't bother you. And then they like kept going back and forth. And then she's like, okay, fine. Bye. But I don't know. It was just cute just to see like they, I felt like they both, like they're both just stubborn and, you know,
yeah,
they don't want to be the one that actually backs down, but they really were like, no, I want to, you know, I want you here, but I'm just, I can't say that. This I thought was kind of, at first, actually, it was more just like, I couldn't believe that I did that, but I think it was just of how, like, because Leia was asking about who he lost, and she had already gone through her whole, you know, like, I lost my son, but he wasn't my son. It was actually from my sister, who was not actually her sister, but it was one of her friends or, you know, whoever, I guess she was part of the military or her little group. So it was like that, just having that kind of like thought process. And so she asked him, it's like, who did you lose? And he said he lost a brother. And at first, my first thinking was like, because she said sister, was like, oh, he's going to say Beth. But, you know, because she was talking about her son and, you know, her son wasn't hers and blah, blah, blah. But then I was like, oh, is he talking about Merle? And then he said, it was like, oh, did you find, or like, how'd you find him or whatever? And he's like, oh, we never found the body. And then I literally would like went facepalm and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, yes, Rick. Like, I totally had forgot that, you know, like they called each other brothers. Of course, they were best buds or whatever. And so I don't know, that whole exchange, I really felt bad. I was like, man, I really failed at that. Like, I totally like did not catch that until after the fact. Good. And then the flashback, it, you know, like I think you might have said this, like it kind of bothered you a little bit. But I didn't find it too much of a bother. We did get the span of, like, the only thing I guess that did bother me is we got this span of 5 years. And, you know, then it was like jump ahead and be like, oh, 18 months ago or like whatever it was, or 3 months later or like whatever. And I don't know, this has bugged me from the start, because I know in the comics they do have parts where like they're dealing with winter. And it's just like, I know this is the show because of how they record, you know, like film, like what time of year and this and that. But it's just like, you know, is this like, I kind of was like, oh, is this just what the effect of climate change is in this universe or something? Like, why is it like never winter? And it's like, you know, I would have loved to see what they did in the comics, you know, just like how would our group deal whenever maybe the Walker threat's not so much because it's they're frozen, and then dealing with being like trying to survive with, you know, it being so cold and like maybe they have a food shortage. But, you know, it's kind of like, oh, it just give us something other than what we've already seen, which was like, you know, the Whisperers took a vacation and so our group snuck across the border, you know, like, or that cold open. And I think it was in season 3, like that it was like probably like that towards the end of winter and they were all like going in the house and finding food and like hanging out before they got to the prison. So I don't know, that was just some of the little gripes. But it was just like, oh, we have these flashback of, we know how many years it's, well, we, you know, it's been what, I forgot, it was like 6 years, how, when the first big jump was after Rick. Was that,
I think it was six.
Yeah, but I mean, still like a huge like jump. But, you know, here we are having a flashback seeing Daryl, you know, like, you know, meet Leia and do all his thing. But again, it's like seasons just don't exist, that it's always, you know, like sunny and hot and stormy, but no snow.
Well, it is in filmed in Georgia, so there's not a lot of that.
True. All right. Well, that's all I had for the last two episodes. So let's continue on with this week's episode, which is The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 19, One More. It was written by Eric Mountain and Jim Barnes. They're co-executive producers. Eric Mountain, he's new as of 10C. He was known for Taken, Lethal Weapon, and Person of Interest. This is first writing credit on The Walking Dead. Jim Barnes, he's a guy who wrote Season 10, Episode 3, Ghosts. And that one is where Carol is taking pills and hallucinating. So he also did Season 10, Episode 10, Stalker, which was the battle between Alpha and Daryl, and known for Revolution, Falling Skies, Gotham, and Timeless, which many shows that I love. Falling Skies to some point.
Yes.
Not all of it. It was directed by Laura Belsey. This is her fourth episode directing Walking Dead. She's also directed Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before, which was the People in the Pikes episode with Tara, Eden, Henry, etc. Season 10, Episode 5, What It Always Is, The Negan has a groupie episode. And Season 10, Episode 15, The Tower, that one that ended up being the end of Season 10B because the last episode wasn't finished. She also directed Season 10, Episode 20, Splinter, Season 10, Episode 22, Here's Negan, and 28 directing credits. Also directed several episodes of Criminal Minds, Arrow, Queen of the South, and SWAT, among many others. Love Criminal Minds. That was a good show.
Yep.
Description is, with Maggie's map, Gabriel and Aaron search for food and supplies to bring back to Alexandria. Checking out one more location, they chance upon a stash. Faith is broken and optimism is fragmented when they are put to the ultimate test. All right, well, let's go to our ratings. LT, what'd you give this episode?
Well, I'm giving this one a 9.5 out of 10, Boar's Bourbon and Bullets.
I give it an 8 out of 10, Walker Kitchen Gloves. That's all I could get. It's like, I feel like you guys took some... took some ideas that I have, but I mean, I don't know. That was a fun scene. Brian, what'd you give it?
Well, I love this episode, and I thought that it was a great character study. I kind of love these kind of character studies, and it was mostly, you know, just Ezekiel, Gabriel, and Aaron, and then of course Gabriel, Aaron, and Maze. And then Gabriel, Aaron, and Maze's brother, whoever, I guess the other Maze, I don't know. But I love this episode. I got to give it 9.5 ass-wiping Bibles. So, yes. Anyway, I thought that this is a great, like I said, great character episode.
All right. Well, that was our ratings. So let's go into our listener ratings. LT, you want to take the first one?
I shall. Dieta from Detroit says, 8 out of 10, getting drunk in an apocalypse while out in the apocalypse is never a good idea. Shrug emoji, shrug emoji.
Shrug emojis. And Glenn is from Toronto, gave it an 8 out of 10. The Deer Hunter terminated. All right. Well, that takes us then into our awesome sauce. All right. First awesome sauce comes from Dieta, and she says, I enjoyed the tag team matchup of Gabriel and Aaron. Yep. Agree.
Glennis from Toronto says, how Gabriel has changed from that scared man on top of that boulder being hounded by a walker and shouting for help in season 5. Now he steps up and takes charge and kills. Which I wholly agree with.
All right. Well, thank you guys for your awesome sauces. So this will go into our awesome sauce. LT, do you want to start with yours?
I will. I was noticing that all the corpses out in the open are in clusters. It seemed to be a common thing where they had, you know, twos and threes all hugged up to each other. And we know they didn't turn because they wouldn't still be laying there all hugged up with each other. Also, you got the motif of when he kept seeing all the corpses out in the field, that it's like they were huddling together and time has passed, so there were flowers growing up in between them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that death rebirth sort of thing, if you look at it that way. But it was kind of weird that there were all those, you know, all those like twos and threes of corpses out in the open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the whole Aaron Gabriel road trip vibe. You know, that these two guys are out here, you know, they seem to dovetail well together as a pair. It's funny to me that both of them have experienced degrees of loss, but yet I think Aaron seems to still be the most hopeful in some ways. And Gabriel is now sort of the cynical one, where you would think previously he was the one who was more hopeful, and just because of being a preacher, that you'd think he would be the one who would be trying to get the positive in all these situations.
Yeah, I do feel that, like, Gabriel has definitely, before, I think, or maybe it just feels like, you know, Gabriel was kind of trying to always reach redemption for just his past and just, like, you know, not necessarily, you know, being there for everybody. So he tried to make that role, to now it's like he just seems to be very just like if you're not with him, then you're against him. And
yeah,
there's no like anybody in front of him is just standing in his way. So it's like there's no redemption for you because you're not on my side. And
well, you think about his whole character arc, that he's gone from, you know, being the guy screaming for help on the boulder to that whole interaction with him and Negan, and then losing his eye. So now he's got the whole creepy eye thing going. And how,
yeah,
you know, you saw him in those episodes when Negan was in the cell. They had that one scene where he was talking and they had his face where only the cloudy eye was showing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's just been a definite progression with that character.
Yeah. Yeah, but makes this pairing that they're doing in these episodes, it makes it, I don't know, a fun one. So I have to agree with that.
Yep. And of course, my next awesome sauce was Robert Patrick. I mean, come on, man. He's been one of my favorite actors from way back. Amongst the roles they talked about he's had on other episodes, he was also the colonel on the unit, which was one of my favorites. But, even though we didn't get him as much as I'd like to have had him on the show, I mean, he absolutely played that part to the hilt. I mean, it was really good, you know, considering that the first two episodes of this run were just kind of not really just grabbing me by the, you know, lapels and shaking me. Just absolutely loved his part. You know, he has a knack for playing that kind of character.
Yeah, totally.
So just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, he's always been one of my favorite actors. And it's just like, it's just one of those things where, like, the way they play their characters in the role, I don't know, there's just like something about, like, he's able to just like pull off that, you know, where he's scary, he's tense, you know, he's crazy, or he's like whatever the role he needs to do. It's like he pulls it off so well, and it's like you just believe it. And like there's very few actors that I would think that, like, I feel that way, like, which I don't think he's ever been in the show, but Giovanni Ribisi is the same. It's just like, he just knows how to, like, give you that emotion, you know, and it just feels real and feels authentic. And Robert Patrick does that a lot. And in this in this episode for him to play this role. It was just like such a great character for him. So I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, I was going to add this, and I'm sure many others have, like, you know, this would have been their awesome sauce. So I was kind of like, I'll let you have it and then I'll chime in. It was awesome.
Well, and I know Brian talked about the Bibles as toilet paper. I was going to say, well, if you like thin pages, you could have done, you know, phone directories. But yeah, it was that whole sequence with, well, I see you have lots of Bibles, and it's the, oh, you're using them for toilet paper.
Toilet paper. I mean, you know, I guess it works in a pinch.
Well, and like I said, if you could find a bunch of yellow pages, they'd work.
I would assume at this point the world ended when there were still, you know, telephones and payphones.
Well, hey, even now we still get, you know, I still get
the phone book,
phone books in the mailbox. So
yeah, haven't gotten one of those in a long time, actually.
What is this phone book you speak of?
We're talking about the past.
Yes, the past.
Hey, man, analog still works.
No, it's.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I don't know. A lot of people, the generation that comes up these days, they don't even know like what a phone book is anymore, you know, so.
Or how do you probably use one? But
when I was your age, we had to read a phone book.
Well, now that you're back, you want to go with your awesome sauce?
Yes. Well, I had a lot of awesome sauce. I thought the cold open at the start with the blood on the flowers and the I thought it was dandelions, but I don't think that was a dandelion. That was some other dandelion-like flower. But
they were dandelions. Just the
okay. Well, anyway, I thought that was cool. I don't think we've ever seen shots like that. I thought that they. You could tell it's like one of those things you're watching the show and you can tell that this is shot in a COVID time because like you see the distances between people and between walkers and all that, like you can see it. But nevertheless, I was impressed by the artistry of it, the creativity of it. I thought that was really well done. I like the use of Enid's timer trick. We've first seen her do that. I think way back in maybe season 5, mm-hmm. season 6, I don't know, but I think it was season 5. Anyway, you know, throw this timer and basically divert the walkers towards the timer while you kind of just go around them. The skin peeling off when they both grab that one walker's arms, and they just basically the skin peels right off of them.
Walker kitchen gloves.
The walker, yeah. There was something that I was going to mention that I couldn't find, so I had it. It says something in the first few minutes that I need to refine, but that was. I don't know what that is, but if I figure out what it is, I will mention it later. I thought I would leave it in just for humor's sake. Gabriel keeps seeing images of dead bodies. I guess both of them did. It showed that they were missing their families, I think. And of course, you have to wonder, like, especially when they came across, I don't know, was that a church or one of the first places they had gone to? And they come across those bodies that are like kind of like wrapped in and vine flowers are like, are wrapped around them. And that I thought that was really cool. Who knew that Gabriel is a bit of a whiskey connoisseur? I myself have had a few bottles of whiskey in my day, although I have recently stopped drinking. So, but I love the toilet paper joke. nothing speaks of COVID than mentioning toilet paper in The Walking Dead. Because I think up until now, that's something that they've gotten wrong. And we finally got a very tense game of Russian roulette. And I'm surprised at this point that we haven't seen Russian roulette at some point in this show. And, obviously, I think, LT, you were going to mention Robert Patrick. He was phenomenal in this episode. I only have one gripe about that, which we'll talk about later.
Yep.
So. But anyway, that's my awesome sauce.
Cool. All right. Well, then that leads us to our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
We didn't get any weak sauce from our listeners this week, so we'll move on to ours. LT, you want to start?
Yeah, my first bit of weak sauce is they didn't search the whole building. Come on, guys. Yeah. If you're going to go bunker up somewhere, you know, the first thing that I think they should have done was check all those nooks and crannies and before you sit down and cook your dinner and drink your expensive bourbon. And about that, you know, maybe it's not the best time when you're out there on your own, just two of you, to pull a big drunk and get, you know, passy outy drunk when there's no sober people to be on watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally get we're all stressed out. This is a nice time to relax, but can you ever really relax in the zombie apocalypse?
Nope.
At least not when you're in some shed in the middle of nowhere that you've just found.
And if there isn't,
a boar in the closet.
And if it's not zombies, it's some, you know, guy like Beta who's traipsing around your settlement and causing havoc, you know. And of course, I mentioned that because Jim Barnes was one of the writers of that episode. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I had, well, I don't know. It's kind of like, I kind of, just my weak sauce, I don't know, there wasn't really anything that I was really stood out to me being weak. So, like, I don't know. This tends to always come to, like, I always, like, will say or, like, I'll point out or whatever, is usually, like, kind of like these, kind of the issues I've had with fear, like with the radios or just, like, stupid stuff. But it's, like, I don't know, like, the walkers, it's, like, I know how much time, you know, we've had a lot of time since this started, and it just seems like the walkers just always, depending on maybe if they're in the water for a long time or the ocean or whatever, like, you know, some are more degraded than others, but it's like, it still seems like this has been so long that, like, I don't know how really, like, unless these are freshly new minted walkers, like, that are like maybe 5 years old compared to being like 10 to 12, you know,
fresh, only 5 years old.
Yes. But I mean, you know, I still am expecting to see more, like, really, really more gruesome, more decomposed, more, you know, like, I don't know. So it's like, I mean, I guess there's still enough people alive. You know, like what, Home Sweet Home, like, they found that whole parking garage or the canisters or whatever, and there's all these walkers in there. That could have been a settlement that just, you know, got wiped out and they all died. So they might not have been like that old when they turned.
So you'd think that some of these should be jerkier
or just more like, or more bones, you know, or more like skeletonish, you know, and not just like they're still like got lots of meat on them.
Well, see, then you're going to get into this the spot of walker mechanics that I don't think we've ever really talked about. You know, at what point are they so decayed that they can't really walk
anymore? Like, function.
Yeah, there has to be a point when the walkers can't walk.
Right.
You know, so, because eventually, I don't care if you're what you are, but if you're a rotting corpse, you're eventually going to rot beyond the point of
locomotion.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I mean, I would like to then see, though, that being addressed. But obviously, if we're just one more season, you know, it's like, you know, they're not continuing this on for like ever and ever. But, you know, in the spinoffs, it's like, I don't know, have like some kind of like a little bit of a, oh, we see something that like would reference a like, oh, another group or, you know, would give us an idea of like, oh yeah, that was from, you know, freshly dead people, you know, and not just like, are these just the same walkers that have lived in this like shack this whole time? You
same,
know,
it's the like, same poor walker that's been wandering around for the last 10 years out in the weather.
Right.
It's that walker that was in the pilot episode that kept on. I don't know if you remember that particular walker, but there was this walker in the pilot episode that kept on like staring at the camera. It's that walker.
Yeah. Yeah, the walkers in the pilot and even like the first few episodes of season one. Like,
well, yeah, they could hop fences and, you know,
like they actually they had like do. Some, they could use rocks to break through stuff, you know, like yeah, they had exactly. more skills.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, that's my only weak sauce. I just pointing out that I'm like, I kind of, you know, it's like, walkers all they just all look the same now, and I'm kind of wanting a little more variety.
Well, my weak sauce, although it's definitely an awesome sauce having Robert Patrick, the fact that he's basically he was only in the last 20 minutes of the episode, and that's, you know, including like the trailing credits, you know, not right. it so you know, I would have hoped that he would have been in all of the episode and not, or at least most of the episode and not like just the last little bit of it. And you know, I think, LT, you were going to talk about it. I think, I'll bring it up now for you. We could have had Robert Patrick on this show as a regular, and we don't have them. They killed them off. They had two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, can you imagine, you know, having T2? well, anyway, he's a great actor. And, you know, obviously this was probably a one-shot deal, but it would have been good to have him even like in, you know, season 11, you know, as an extended, you know, one season special guest star or something, but
yeah.
Yeah. So that sucks, but there's that. And then, one other point I'm going to also credit, there's one thing I had that, two points that I'm stealing from Brains Gone Bad. And I want to give them full credit for the points that I'm going to bring up. I can't remember if it was Lizzie or Kim brought this up in their podcast this week. So Gabriel and Aaron are out, like, you know, with this map. How Maggie came up with this map, I don't know. Did she like come up with it as she was coming back, and she marked the places that they didn't, you know, check out? I don't know. But how are they going to get, like, if they had found like a big cache of supplies, they only got little backpacks, you know, like little kitty sized backpacks, it looks like, or if that. They don't have a wagon, they don't have any. So how are they going to get stuff back?
Mark it on the map and come back with a wagon.
I guess
like come with horse and buggy or something. But yeah, that was one thing when they mentioned it on their podcast, I said, yeah, that's a good point. So, but yes, I had to add that to my weak sauce, 'cause it's true.
Yeah. That's a good point though. All right. Well, that was it for our weak sauce. So let's go into what sauce.
What?
And we have what sauce from Dieta, and she says, what was the timer clock waking up the walkers? So now they sleep and rise at the same time. Actually, I don't ever remember seeing them not moving ever on this show, but now they sleep. Okay, I guess. Shrug emoji. And when did the blood become red? Always thought it was dark reddish brown, even black sometimes, but never bright red unless newly turned. Seeing the red blood spatter had me thinking they were killing regular people. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it was red, wasn't it? I mean, I do, when after reading her comment, I do remember being like, oh, yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was redder than usual.
Yeah, it was redder than usual.
Yeah, that might have been.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could make the argument it was an artistic choice so it would stand out against the
flowers and
foliage in the background.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Yep. I would agree. All right. Well, thanks, Dieta. All right. Well, then that is all our listeners. So let's go into ours, which I didn't have any, but LT, it looks like you did.
Oh, I do. yeah. Okay. So I liked the zombie sleeve gag they did. I thought that was pretty cool. But that is rookie paramedic 101. That if you've got somebody where the skin is going to slip, it's going to slide right off. And I've been there. So the side to it is, okay, if you know that when you start trying to yank on their arms, that being in the state of decay that they're in, that the skin is probably going to slide right off. It just seemed like to me, if you're going to yank the guy through the door, don't they have any crowbars? If they're out salvaging, trying to break into places, you know, you're talking about their little backpacks. Well, they could have had a pry bar, you know, bust the boards off the door rather than trying to pull the corpse through the hole. I mean, I was just like, if you're going to be trying to look for supplies, I mean, that to me is like equipment 101.
Yeah.
You know, have a tire tool, have a pry bar.
Yeah. I thought, it was like, actually it crossed my mind because you could see that the skin, like when they grabbed it, started to kind of give. So I was thinking, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. You're like, I would think that you would have felt that and known, like either put your, you know, dig more into their arm to do that instead of like just grabbing on the skin. But
no,
it reminded, like you bring up the crowbar and all that stuff. It did remind me though of, two episodes ago, A Home Sweet Home, when Maggie got cut and she's shoving that door, trying to keep the walkers coming out. But the whole time, the walkers' heads are like literally like hanging out. Like, I was like, why isn't someone there just sitting there stabbing them? Like, they would have stabbed the walker, it would have stopped pushing, and they could have like just kept doing that and either clear them all out, or then that would have made them stop, you know, like pushing. And, you know, it's kind of like the simplest thing that you think is like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Why wouldn't you have done that? they don't go.
Yes, but it's not as visually appealing.
Right. I just, you know.
Yeah. And you talked about it. We talked about it last week. Once again. So when Gabriel took his mud bath, why don't you have the map in a bag? It's the same thing we talked about with Daryl. All it takes is a Ziploc bag. If you've got a paper map and you know the map's important, then put it in a bag.
Yeah.
I kind of saw that one coming when they went into the mud hole. And granted, if it was me, I would try to studiously avoid said mud hole if at all possible.
Yeah. Not walk through it.
I just want to, again, I want to gripe about the building they found. I think they didn't necessarily show it, but as big as it was, with as much crap as there was laying around, I would have liked to have seen them root around in some of those boxes a little bit more. Because as far as we know, there might be stuff in there. Now, they may come back. We don't know. But if your whole thing is we need to find supplies, it just seems like that they gave up looking around inside the building kind of easy.
And there could have been a plastic bag. They would have had,
or there could have been a can of Beanie Weenies. You know, there's no telling. We know they had a stack of Bibles.
I didn't. I don't know if it was a Watt sauce, but I mean, it just popped in my head though too, because it was just like them trying to clear the walkers in the first building, and then of course they were chopping their arms off, and then they would stick their arms out again. But then it was like, you know, they got on the roof, and Gabriel found the way back in. But then it seemed like he cleared that so fast, like no problems whatsoever. I mean, so I don't know.
Yeah, it did seem a little uneven there.
After all the flailing and running around, they just kind of like, nothing here.
Yeah.
And off they went.
All right, Brian, do you have any what sauce?
It seems like they didn't get a lot of meat out of that boar. Yes, they had a lot to eat, but that was a big boar. Huge. So you would think that they would have had, you know, more meat to bring back or something. I don't know how you would do that. Like, I assume that they would like bring it back as jerky or something if they could. But that was the one thought.
Yeah.
Was wasting good meat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably didn't have time to make the jerky or have the equipment to, but yeah, they could have at least, well, they could have cooked it and had enough to like for the return trip home. I mean, meat can be spoiled to some degree.
You can't really jerk pork.
You
have to smoke.
Okay.
You have to smoke it.
Yes. Well, that's what I was thinking. Smoke the pork.
Yeah.
But you're right. That was a pretty good sized boar, and it just seems like that they didn't show him eating a lot.
No, we just heard Aaron scream.
And the sidebar to that was on Talking Dead when they said, well, we want you to do something a little girlier.
It was funny, though. All right, well, that was it then for that. Let's go into our sad and aw sauce. Aww. Did not have anything from the listeners. LT, I guess you did have some.
Yes, I did. It really only affects people who read the comics, who knows about Gabriel and the water tower. But the fact that they kept showing the water tower and that are heading towards the water tower just kind of made me go, oh.
That's probably why they did it.
Of course, I don't know, because does that qualify as a spoiler?
I mean, I haven't gotten that far in the comic. I'm still in the Whisper of Wars, but I mean, I don't care, but yeah, probably.
Well, it was part of the Whisper of Wars. It's how Gabriel died.
I had not gotten to that point yet.
So yeah, it's kind of gruesome. And
so he didn't die on the pike like a lot of the other people?
No. He actually was on a water tower and fell and like,
oh goodness,
was hanging by his nearly severed broken ankle, and Beta shanked him and he screamed, and so the walkers came and ate him, and then later they showed the partially eaten hanging dangly corpse of Gabriel. So
Well, he's still alive in this show.
Well, and that they've already done that different people have gotten other comic characters' deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my other bit of sad sauce was the family in the attic.
Yeah,
you know, Maze's brother's family. That, as we'd said before, we had all these, you know, huddled pairs and families that we kept seeing, and just the fact of he's been living in an attic with his dead niece and sister-in-law and his brother all this time, it was just kind of it was not so much gross as it was like just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was one of my, but that was my sad sauce. Although I did miss it the first time. And actually, Megan, who we have a voicemail from, like mentioned, talked about it, but I didn't catch the fact that his twin brother, like, or that he made him play the game. I did catch it the second time, but like the first time I didn't know that. I just thought it was like, oh, he like,
actually, I would bet he made, well, he made his brother play it with his wife, maybe, or
oh god, yeah,
made the girls play it, or yeah, we don't know who had to play it.
Yeah, but still sad nonetheless.
Yeah, I think my last bit of sad sauce was Gabriel needs to rethink his carry style, because isn't this like the second or third time he's had a gun or a knife snatched away from him? It's like, you know, get a holster with a thumb snap, man.
Yeah, so that bullet was meant for Aaron that ultimately killed the brother, right?
Yep.
By the way, we never mentioned that as an awesome sauce, but that whole game of Russian roulette and how it's, you know, went to its final, you know, ending, I thought was awesome. A very tense scene, and it's awesome that Aaron, you know, was willing to die so that Gabriel would be saved, you know. I thought all of that was awesome. It was awesome on multiple levels. So,
yeah,
should have said that earlier.
Yeah,
but
and I think I was going to say the last. I don't know if it's included somewhere else. Well, I'm going to throw it in here because it qualifies as sad. Is that when we got to the point? It's like, oh man, they killed Robert Patrick. And then it's like, oh, wait, it's Robert Patrick. Oh, we killed Robert Patrick again.
Yeah. Had to double kill him.
So we had two chances to have Robert Patrick, and we killed both of them.
Yep.
Maybe there's a triplet.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, my sad sauce was basically the same thing about the twin brothers, the shooting, and the dead family. It's like, I mean, sad.
Yeah. And along those lines, I thought that, you know, they kept coming across the bones and, you know, the rotted corpses of dead families. And they weren't, you know, it was a time when we didn't see like zombie corpses. They were, you know, dead bodies that were beyond being zombies. So I thought that was like, we see them, you know, all like hurled together in all of those examples, and I thought that, by, you know, on the whole, it was very sad to see that. And also you could see from these two characters how much they were missing their family at that moment.
Yeah,
missing their families at that moment. And, you know, who knows how far they were out? That's the one question that I had. Like, how far out were they to go, you know? Like, were they 100 miles out? Were they 50 miles out? Were they, you know, 30 miles out? Yeah. I would have to think that they were farther out than maybe they had been. But, yeah. Anyway. Sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that leads us into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. We actually got two voicemails this week, and the first one comes from Renee from Atlanta. So here is Renee.
Hi, this is Renee from Atlanta. I'm calling about the Walking Dead podcast. Last week, I don't know how I missed calling in. I kind of got caught up when I remembered it was Tuesday, then it was Wednesday. So I'm going to rate a finding. You know, I'm going to be quick about it. Daryl, I was super excited that he had a love interest finally. So I kind of enjoyed that episode only because of that reason. But other than that, these episodes have been totally boring to me. I feel that had The Walking Dead came back on maybe in January, like it normally does, and these episodes were like, you know, in the middle, they would not have been as boring. I guess I'm just expecting a little bit more, but I see next week looks like it's going to be a little bit more. But the episode tonight, is this one called One More? Which one is this one? I think One More, I think, with Gabriel. Yeah, with the map. And this episode, I rated this, let me tell you, hold on, I wrote it down. 7 out of 10, Father Gabriel is Rick Grimes 2.0, because when he turned around and he was like, what? That's how Rick, he reminded me of Rick when Rick did that. And I have Austin Soft, Gabriel using the timer to warn them about the walkers. I thought that was, you know, really neat, something new, you know. And I have I know y'all don't have this, but I had the eel sauce because the walkers were awful, especially the tree walker and the one whose arms came off, that was eel. And then I have the sad sauce. The brothers were twins, and that was just really sad, and I just don't know what happened. But I do know what happened. The walkers will definitely make you lose your mind. So, yeah, that was sad to me. But I'm not feeling these episodes. To me, they have just been super boring. Like, I'm just not happy with them. But hopefully next week, you know, it'll be better. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. Always love the voicemail from you. And I definitely, like, kind of, I think some of we kind of agree a little bit that there's some slow periods in the few episodes so far. But, well, definitely, though, you get the showdown winner. I actually have something to kind of comment on what she was saying. About just
so do I, but go ahead.
Yeah. I did have a hard time getting back into The Walking Dead, and it was also because of after, you know, we've had this long span, you know, between, you know, when season 10, was abruptly, you know, stopped before the actual mid-season finale to look at how long we had to wait. And then we finally got those episodes, and then it was like the whole, you know, fear was being all pushed around, and then the world beyond. But I did have to say that after like getting some rewatches in, I did get back into it. You know, I did agree that the last few episodes felt like I was a little bit more excited about Fear's return than I was about The Walking Dead. But it's interesting. But also because it was like not too long. I mean, I know Walking Dead aired first, and then we covered Fear, but I think it was just the whole pandemic messing everything up, because I agree that it was like, if it had happened on schedule, then I feel like we would probably be feeling a little differently about, you know, The Walking Dead, because Walking Dead would have already ended, and then we would have had World Beyond, and then Fear The Walking Dead over the summer, and then we would have been back with season 11 last fall. And I think if we got to watch everything in succession and was kind of like Walking Dead was on our mind, and then we got, you know, we didn't have to get the interruption we did. Yeah, I think it would have probably played a little differently, and we would have been more into it, or I would have been more into it. So I can agree with her on that end, but I definitely think it's like, yeah, if this happened as it normally would have, if it wasn't for COVID, you know, we'd be in season 11 already.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And my take on it is, first of all, be thankful that you have it, because, you know, it's very possible that if they hadn't done these, then we would have, we wouldn't have anything until maybe the summer. I think of these like webisodes kind of, or, they're bottle episodes. They're like six bottle episodes, essentially. And this one especially feels very bodily. In fact, I have very bodily. the way that I mentioned this in our notes, but I'll say it now. To me, this felt like Breaking Bad episode from season 3 called Fly. And it was basically It happened. They needed to cut the budget. And yeah, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul, two actors, and the whole thing takes place in a lab. And except for them doing, you know, some outside location shooting, which are all on the same set, it's all part of that property that where the studio is. Most of this takes place in this warehouse, right? So it was very similar. You had the, you know, a lot of it is just Aaron and Gabriel just talking. And it reminded me of that. And I think you have to take it under that kind of thought. These are character episodes. They're not going to advance the plot. This is, you know, if you want to call it filler, okay, it's filler, but it's building up character moments that instead of something maybe that they would talk about in season 11, they're actually showing you in season 10C. So I think that, like I started saying, this reminds me of what other series have done in the past, kind of a webisode, like just, you know, a little piece of the story that is outside of the regular, you know, season, but is still worth seeing. And you're building up the character. And I think that's what, like, if all you're looking for in The Walking Dead is action, then yeah, maybe that this isn't going to do it for you. But I think if you're like, what I love about the show is the dramas, the acting, is the, you know, the just the gritty interpretation of the apocalypse. I find apocalypses very interesting and fascinating. So that's how I look at it. I'm really enjoying this 10C so far. So I'm sorry it's not doing it for you, Renee, but it is for me, just because we're getting a chance to see these characters. And it also reminds me a little bit of the slow part of season 2 and season 4B. And, you know, if you remember, they spend all this time on the farm in season 2, but you're getting to know the characters as they're doing it. And then so once the story starts to move, it starts to move, and it's that much more fulfilling at the end. Same with 4B, you have all these characters that are, and it's the structure is very similar here. You have all these characters that are kind of grouped together. So we have an episode with, you know, you're going to have an episode, I think, coming next week with Eugene, Ezekiel, Princess, and, you know, whoever else, and what's her name?
Yumiko.
So you're going to have an episode with them. You had a Carol and Daryl episode. You're going to have a Daryl and, you know, Daryl's got a girlfriend episode. you're going to have a Negan episode. So that's a similar kind of thing, I think, to what we saw in 4B. And then eventually, you know, come season 11, the characters will come together again and we'll start to get an advancement. So,
right.
Anyway, that's how I see
it. Well, and that's kind of the thing that I have to look at it as, this is the trade-off because of the state of the world, that we could, like we've already said, you could sit back and not have anything until later this summer.
Exactly.
And maybe this is just something they could do with what they had to play with to kind of keep everybody's interest piqued and give us some content. And you're exactly right. They are more, they're more bottle-like. They're more self-contained. Yeah. They're more character studies. But at least we're getting some Walking Dead out of it.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
That I would say that this is not necessarily a game material, but it's better than not having anything at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was feeling more like I was getting kind of like reminiscing of Fear last season, and just how they were doing this kind of bottle kind of, you know, two characters, or, you know, like,
yeah.
And they did it yeah. each episode, and each one of those episodes really was very fulfilling. And then we got to a point where they started coming together, and then it was like, okay. And, you know, we've got more to still come. But yeah, yeah, I think what the way you're explaining it is kind of changing a little bit. I had some comments later, but I'm now it's kind of like, it does, the way you were explaining it, does make sense. And it was kind of like what I was thinking, that was like, well, yeah, they only had these six bonus episodes. It was like, what are they going to do with it now? And, you know, this is what we're getting, but we are definitely getting these character driven stories, and we're getting to learn more about them. And that's definitely going to, you know, play, you know, into for season 11. So, I mean, you know, we always want to know more about these, you know, our characters, and just like get to understand their, you know, problems. Like we still have Princess, you know, like that coming for next week, like looks very kind of like we get to meet this other group, but like, you know, it's like, what's, we know more about her. So it's like, I think we have a lot of interesting things coming, just even just when there's only three episodes left.
Yes, I agree.
All right, well, we actually have another feedback comes from Megan Lehman from Williamsburg, PA, and this is her.
Hi, this is Megan Lehman in Williamsport, PA, calling with some feedback for last night's episode, which I thought was really, really good. I was shocked and excited a bunch of different times at the beginning of the episode. I really loved how they showed all the flowers and the blood splattering onto the flowers. It started off peaceful, and then suddenly you saw one little drip, and then, you know, you realized what was happening. I was trying to figure out what all the flowers were, because I'm a gardener, but I can tell you for sure that the flowers growing out of the three dead bodies of the two adults and the child were morning glories, and they will grow anywhere. They're very invasive, but very beautiful. So I thought that was a very well done, little scene. I really enjoyed Aaron and Gabriel's kind of road trip. I think these episodes, when they have two people that maybe you don't see together all the time, you know, going out and exploring and getting into difficult situations, has always been, you know, a blueprint for a typically great episode of The Walking Dead. I was kind of sad because Aaron seems just absolutely so beaten down. I feel like almost like it was out of character a little bit, but I think because it's been so long since I watched the first half of this season, it feels like last season. Maybe I'm forgetting like kind of how bad things were for him. But anyway, the drinking and gambling scene and philosophizing, I thought that was all gold. And there are definitely some quote worthy things, you know, from that discussion, and just a few really funny little moments. And the thing that I couldn't stop laughing, when they were asleep, obviously sleeping off all the whiskey, and, Gabriel snored and it startled Aaron out of his sleep, and he like instinctively lurched off of the chair and tried to get up, but he fell down. And the mace arm went like clunk on the floor like a bowling ball. I don't know why that just cracked me up so bad. Oh, but the Robert Patrick, part, I thought actually I was kind of annoyed. It was a little slow when he had them at the table and was interrogating them. I don't know. There was a lot of philosophizing there that I just thought was kind of forced, but I think it was totally worth the little bit that dragged for the rest of the episode. Because it was so great overall. And the part where Gabriel was like kind of, you know, antagonizing him, I totally thought that he was doing that to distract Mace so that Aaron, who was now holding a loaded revolver, could shoot him from behind. And I was kind of disappointed in Aaron for not doing that, because they were both in, you know, imminent risk of death there. And, I was really glad that Gabriel took care of business, because I don't think that guy was coming back,
you know, no matter what they tried. And then the part when they discovered his brother, oh my gosh, that part absolutely killed me, because when you saw him and you could tell it was the same actor, I was just like, and I immediately thought of the Ben Gunn character in Treasure Island, who's one of my favorite characters in all of literature. Like this guy who was abandoned on an island, this guy's been tied up in an attic and tortured, and he's totally loco, and you know, the long beard and talks to goats kind of, ooh, yeah. And his family, that was tough, because the backstory being, quote, he made me play. If you think about the way he ran the game of Russian roulette, basically that means that the brother chose to shoot his family instead of himself, and then he was made to live watching them literally like rot away and mummify. Ooh. And I'm not surprised that after all of that, he just realized he wasn't going to find any place in the world. And that was the end of it for him. So very, very sad ending. The family photos really got me. You know, it looked like they were twins. So overall, I think this is a super memorable episode with that twist at the end that will just, you know, that made a huge impression. And I hope other people thought so too. That'll go down in my memory for a long time as one of the notable episodes that you can't forget. Hope you guys liked it. And talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Megan. That was another showcase winner of our episode this week.
It's so nice to hear your voice, Megan.
Yay.
Yeah, Megan is a friend of mine, and just as I'm saying that, she is sending me an email. Just came in. So yeah, she's an old friend of mine. I've known her for several years, and it's good to have her on the podcast. Don't you love that enthusiasm?
Yes.
And we like voicemail. Send us more voicemail.
Yes, please. Yes. Well, As you guys already know, I love this episode. I loved it. In fact, I wonder if 9.5 is high enough for me. You know, so yeah, I'm definitely with you there, Megan. I loved it.
Well, thank you, Megan. And all right. Well, let's go into our other feedback. And we have some from Dieta from Detroit. And I'll go ahead and start with this. She says, I missed last week's episode and wasn't able to catch up until Sunday morning. But yeah, I agree. It was slow. And all the flashbacks had me confused to what time period are we in? But I did figure out that Carol and Daryl are not all right. Sad face. And that makes me sad. Crying face. I hope they make up eventually. They will. They got a spinoff, so we know they're going to be okay. She goes on. Now this episode had a better pace, but was still moving slowly. So I'm guessing everyone has split into teams to look for supplies and people. I don't know. I was watching, but I kind of wasn't. I might have missed what was said as to why everybody is off wandering in the woods, and I guess old abandoned buildings, communities. I guess they were on like Maggie had given them maps or plate locations to go scout out of what I guess maybe they didn't have time to go check out. So I think that's what they were doing, because I know they don't have food or have not a lot of food at Alexandria. She goes on, the episode definitely had more action. Gabriel and Aaron clearing whole fields of walkers by themselves, then getting drunk and passing out, nobody on watch. You would think after all they have endured, they would have been attentive when not surrounded by the Alexandria walls. Completely agree. Mm-hmm. It got intense when they were forced to play Russian roulette with the weird guy. I thought Aaron was going to turn the gun on the guy and shoot him instead. Shock face, but it was Gabriel who took him out with Aaron's arm. That's crying with joy, happy face. Well, he's not coming to Alexandria. She said, I have some questions. So are we to assume they have been walking to check all those locations on the map out? How far are they away from Alexandria? Because how did all these places get missed when they were dealing with the Whisperers? Aaron said we need to head back, but Gabriel kept saying one more until the map got wet and they couldn't read anymore. So have they been out there for days or weeks? Overall, decent episode.
I wondered that myself. If it was, I was thinking maybe 2 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah. I, yeah. They didn't say.
They didn't say.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Right. But they were walking, so I'm sure when Aaron was wanting to go back, that they probably were pretty far away. Just how far, I don't know.
Yeah, that's my take on it as well, that they had been at it for quite some time and were discouraged, which you could understand.
Yeah, and we know, you know, these were Maggie's locations to scout. I mean, she's been really far and been a lot of other places. So, I mean, yeah, who knows where they were and how far. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. All right. Next is Glennis from Toronto. You want to take this, LT?
I shall. Glennis says, I was half expecting Aaron or Gabriel to just turn the gun on Maze and shoot him before he could react, especially when they seemed to know that the bullet was set in the chamber when it was Aaron's turn. Though not sure if that's really a solid fact about revolvers or not, that you can hear a different sound. And I'm a semi-automatic guy, so I can't really tell you. I've not been a revolver jock much at all. Okay, Gabriel left his congregation to die outside the church. Was that less of a bad thing than Maze dealing with his brother for stealing from him? Shocking that Gabriel killed Maze, just as it seemed he'd had a change of heart. Those pretty flowers being splattered with Walker blood. Nothing stays wholesome and good in the Walking Dead apocalypse universe.
Nope.
These guys are not really evil or good. It just depends on which side of the fence you're on. Gabriel was evil when he killed Maze in cold blood, so is he better than Maze or not? I'll drink to that with a shot of whiskey. Come on, Gabriel, don't be stingy with the helping. Smiley face. Evil people aren't the exception to the rule. They are the rule. She says it looked as if other groups had tortured and burned people with those walkers that were tied up. That mud walker was a laugh, especially when Gabriel got covered in goo that made Aaron laugh until he got some mud transferred. Then Gabriel had a good old belly laugh when Aaron screamed like a girl with the boar. He sure is noble.
I don't know why I made a copy of that, but I think it's funny. I saw something on somewhere and I was kind of like, oh, I got to make a copy.
Something about it.
Yeah, and I thought it was weird because it's like Gabriel falls in the mud and he's all covered and it's like Aaron's like, oh, I'm going to help you. But then he gets all mad, like he's already walking in the mud and like, come on, like, how are you? I don't know. It was a weird reaction from him. I thought he was like, would have been more of like, oh, no, here, let me help you up. You're dirty. I don't care. But I don't know. All right. Well, thank you, Glennis. That was all of our feedback from our listeners. Let's go into ours. I didn't really have much more. Did you have anything to add, LT?
No, sir. I think I've said about all I can think of to say.
Nope. And same here. Anything from you, Brian?
Yeah. I wanted to, again, steal something from what Kim and Lizzie said on Brain's Gone Bad. The first three episodes have had some kind of arms in them. So you have Maggie, whose arm got a big cut. You have, who was it, Daryl, or was it, who was it that threw the arm last week? Was it Daryl or was it Leah? I can't remember. Well, we know, and Daryl threw a fish.
threw a fish.
I think it was her. And then, of course, this week, you have two arm gags. You have the skin, you know, peeling off or ripping off of the one walker. And then Maze is dispatched with the arm of of Aaron, right? So there's an arms thing. So I again give full credit to Kim, I think, on Brains Gone Bad, who came up with this arms thing. But I said, that's very interesting. So listeners, giving full credit to them, look for arms in the next three episodes to see if there's any kind of similar theme that gets mentioned. So
So you're saying that season 10 extra has an arm fetish like new Star Trek has an eye trauma thing?
Yes. It's a call to arms.
Taking up arms.
Yeah, taking up arms. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's cool. All I had.
All right. Well, then that leads us into our news, ratings, and info.
Started, it was just a couple weird stories on the news.
Oh, we're back to the long form. I've got the short form now.
That's on my fear, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, speaking of fear, we can fear these ratings that are going to come in. They're quite scary. I don't know. The Walking Dead's ratings are just going in the tank. And it's, you know, I don't know if people are losing interest in these episodes or if just people don't have stuff to do. Like, you know, Renee and Dieta both said that they didn't have a chance to watch last week until, you know, it was time to watch this week. So I don't know, but this week's episode got a 0.57 in the 18 to 49 with 2.170 million viewers. That is down from the previous all-time low, which was 0.65 and 2.259 million viewers last week. So that's not good. That is not a good trend. I hope that it will go up from here. And as far as I'm concerned, this was a great episode. So
weren't they up against the Grammys this week?
Yeah, I think they were.
I think Sunday. They were. So
yeah.
Well, that and might explain.
This is still live, like when it airs.
Yeah, it's live. They don't have the the Grammy Awards were on CBS that started at 8 o'clock. So, and American Idol was on too. So anyway, as far as Talking Dead, it was also lower. Not as low, but in their ratings, but they're still lower. They got a 0.16 in the 18 to 49 with 696 million viewers, down from last week's 0.18 and 800,000 viewers. Parrot Analytics, which we didn't have last week when we recorded, I have those, and I also have them for this week. So last week, they were at number 6 in overall demand, with it being 62.7 times the average show. So again, I don't know what the average show is, but it had 62.7 times the demand of the average show. The top was again Attack on Titan with 100 times the demand. So, and number 2, SpongeBob, which I still don't understand. I will say that every week. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the show, period, but I don't get that. So, and as far as this week, it's also in number 6 position, but for some reason, all the numbers are lower this week. So, Attack on Titan went down one notch to 2nd, and the number 1 demand show was SpongeBob SquarePants. Again, I don't get it. I just don't get it. It got a 70 times the average demand, and The Walking Dead, even though it's at a much lower amount than the previous week, it maintained the number 6 position with 45.5 times the demand of an average show. So either the average show went up or the demand of all these other shows went down. I don't know which, but on Talking Dead this week, and I'll fess up and say I did not get a chance to watch all of Talking Dead this week, but the guests were Ross Marquand and Seth Gilliam, Robert Patrick, of course, and co-executive producer Jim Barnes, who was one of the co-writers of this episode, which is now the third episode in a row of Talking Dead where we have had the writers on the show. And I'm just like dumbfounded that they're, you know, it took them 10 seasons of Talking Dead to finally start showing, getting the writers on the show. You know, because I love this. This is exactly the type of people that I want on the show, because I want to know, why did you do this?
Yeah, totally.
And, agree. You know, because the, you know, the Nicoteros of the day, and, you know, yes, you know, Angela Kang as a showrunner, she can, you know, answer these questions. But I like to know, like, what's in the mind of the writer when he or she is writing the episode? Like, you know, why did you give them this line of dialogue? Why did you, you know, have them do this instead of that? So I love that they're on there. So,
well, and as far as it goes, this was probably one of the better Talking Deads they've had. That's why it surprises me that it was lower.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed the episode because seeing, the actors interact, they were just hysterical together as a group.
Yeah, they were. Of what I got to see of it was maybe a third of it, maybe almost half of it.
It was really good because you could tell that the three of them, you know, interacted well.
Yeah, and they had genuine admiration for themselves. And you know, obviously Ross and Seth are, you know, going to have that bond. But you could tell that Robert Patrick just fit in like a glove.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seems like he might come in there and, you know, be a hard ass, but he's, you know, that they said how great he was to be there. And, you know, like, I loved him in pretty much everything he's been in, but especially Terminator 2.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the most memorable parts of that movie.
And you get to hear Ross Marquand do his Sylvester Stallone imitation.
He is fantastic. If I ever get a chance to interview him, I want to talk to him about, he's only done two audio books that I know of, but one of them is for, Nikki Sixx's Heroin Diaries, where he basically does the male voice of every single male character that's not Nikki Sixx in that book. And he does a phenomenal job. It's probably,
he
does 20 or 25 different characters in that book. So, and I probably heard that book 100 times because my wife goes to bed with it. It's a lot of times that's what she listens to going to sleep. So I've heard it a lot.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that is it for the rest of the show. If you want to interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. Or you can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. And we also have a feedback form, and you can find that at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. We love voicemail, so we definitely keep them coming. So you can call 216-232-6146 and leave us a voicemail. And all of our new episodes are on YouTube. You just search for Talk Through Media. And remember to subscribe and click the bell to get the notification for when the new videos are up. Those videos do go out first before the podcast does. So if you want to hear it as soon as I finish, or Brian, whoever's editing this week, that's the first place that it'll go up. LT, do you want to finish support? You've been so good at it.
I shall.
Yes, he is a master.
Yes.
At this point.
We would love for you to like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is through our Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, and that guy who fills in when they couldn't get anybody else, Lawrence Todd.
Come on. Stop that.
Yes, sir, Mr. Melosh. We want you to subscribe.
Okay. See, we hyped you up and then you screw it up. You let it get to your head.
No, it didn't get to my head. That got to my vocal cords. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them and tell your friends. Word of mouth is still the best way to get us new listeners. And remember, you can forward those posts that are in the main talk through group to anyone you want on Facebook. So that's the place to link.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you, LT. Brian, I guess, where can you be listened to?
Well, Ruthie and I do a little podcast, and sometimes Kyle, when it's Lower Decks time, we do a little podcast about Star Trek Discovery, and you can go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. There, we also do Star Trek Picard cast when that's on, but you can actually get the those episodes on the Discovery feed. So that's, you know, on hiatus right now. But we do have an active Patreon. We'll be recording probably, I don't know, something maybe in the last weekend of the month. Hopefully, if my schedule can handle it. You can go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and our Patreon, which seems to be growing every month. That's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. For our next episode, it'll be The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 20, titled Splinter. According to Wikipedia, it is written by Julia Ruckman and Vivian Seay, and directed by the same director from this week, Laura Belsey. The description, according to Google, is Eugene, Ezekiel, Yumiko, and Princess are captured and separated by the mysterious troopers, stormtroopers, that surrounded them at the rail yard. Claustrophobic with mounting anxiety, Princess struggles with memories of her traumatic past and plans to escape. So, until next time, I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.